It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The weather may not be indicative of it, but today is opening day, as you just heard, of the 2013 Pirates baseball season as the Buccos host the Chicago Cubs at PNC Park. Our sports guy, Bob Dvorak, is there. He's sports writer emeritus for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and his video blog is called Sportsinet. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Paul. What's going on?
Well, you tell me. You're at the ballpark, and we're about maybe some 40, 45 minutes away from the opening pitch of the season. How does it feel?
Well, it's so cold out here that team owners are going into the ballpark with their hands in their own pockets.
Well, there is a... There's...
No, it's, you know, the skies have cleared. There's some blue sky up there. It's a little nippy and breezy, so but they'll get it in. I was concerned that they might have to replace the pierogi race with the Iditarod sled dog race, but things are going okay.
So they are going ahead with the game. Is everything on schedule now?
Yes. As far as I know, it did curtail batting practice, but players are out warming up, and I hope the fans are going to keep warm too.
And do you think that they'll get enough innings in to make an official game and avoid a postponement today? What's the forecast calling for?
Yeah, it looks like they're going to be able to get it. But let me go back into history. The first game in Pirate franchise history in 1887 was rained out. So if that's an omen, I don't know. It does look like they're going to be able to play ball. It's going to be a little uncomfortable. They call them snake bites when the ball hits you in weather like this. But it looks like they're good to go.
Yeah, and it doesn't. The players say that when you hit the ball, that it doesn't necessarily feel good on a cold day. That the bat kind of stings in your hands.
Bee stings in the bat. Yeah, if you don't hit it right, but you know, don't forget the essence of baseball. It's a round ball and a round bat, but you got to hit it square.
The starting pitcher for the Pirates is A.J. Burnett, who won 16 games for Pittsburgh last year. But after that, there are a lot of question marks in the Pirates' pitching rotation. How do you think it looks?
Yeah, the oldest cliche in baseball is you never have enough pitching. I think with Wandy Rodriguez, although in Pittsburgh he's known as Wandy, you know, there is some question marks there. I think everybody's waiting for June to roll around, so get to see the kid come up from the minors, Garrett Cole, their number one pick. I don't think what you see in the rotation to start the season is what it's going to be later on. But, Ken Burnett, and this is his first opening day start in a long career, so that's interesting. But, you know, can he match what he did last year? Does Rodriguez fit in and give him some innings? And can James McDonald be the pitcher of the first half, not the pitcher of the second half from last season?
And can Jason Grilley step in and be the new closer for the Pirates?
Yeah, don't forget, you lost an all-star closer and like 80 saves over the past couple of seasons with Joel Hanrahan. I think Grilley's got the mental makeup to do it and the stuff to do it, but, you know, you want to see it get done on the field. You know, the talk doesn't matter anymore.
Now, what about the everyday lineup? The Pirates, and as opposed to pitchers who pitch every, you know, 3, 4, 5 days, the guys who are in there on a regular basis, the starting nine, as they call them, the Pirates have an all-star center fielder in Andrew McCutchen, but what about the other pieces of that lineup?
Right, and you know what? It looks healthier than it has been in a while. With Starling Marte will be here for the whole season. Neil Walker's back has to hold up. Does Pedro Alvarez, really settle in now and give him some productive at-bats? Shortstop, question mark last year with Barmas, but, if they just get anything out of him, they're going to be fine. So, of course, the big acquisition over the season, Russell Martin, but you want him to hit more than 211. It gives you some power, but you want to see some production out of there, too. So I don't think it's any one guy. I think they're going to all have to step up a bit and if this team's going to be successful.
We're talking with our sports guy, Bob Dvorak, who's at PNC Park, standing up there in the press box with his hat on, with the press pass in the band of his hat sticking out so all can see it, so he's not questioned. Not that we would ever question your credentials, Bob. Of course, just about every spring for the last two decades, everybody's been wondering if the Pirates will get over that 500 mark after two long losing decades. Is this the year that the Pirates will finally have a winning season, Bob?
Well, I know there's some people sitting out in the all-you-can-eat section who said they have all they can stomach, but that's another matter. It's a tough question. It wears on you. In 20 years of this stuff, is this the breakthrough year? I don't know, but I really hope so, just so they can shut up guys like me.
Well, we don't want to do that. Now, the other thing that happens every spring is that it seems the Penguins are always upstaging the Pirates, making headlines. Last week, the Pens made three huge trades, including the blockbuster deal that brought future Hall of Famer Jerome Iginla from Calgary. How well-timed was this deal?
Oh, this is huge. I mean, you know, every deal they made, I say, well, this... They brought in three really solid pieces without giving anybody up on their playing roster. So I liked every move. And you see how important depth is now, especially with Crosby out with a fractured jaw. So Iginla is, he's one of those guys that really does have Hall of Fame credentials. And you add him to this mix, and I think they're just really, really solid right now. They were odds-on favorites to win the Cup. I think the expectation is if they don't win it, it's going to be a major disappointment.
Even with Crosby's injury?
Yes, I think, I'm keeping my fingers crossed on this because he is the best player in the world. I really like this kid. If he comes, I think he'll be back in time for the playoffs. The key is now to just fit everybody in. I know everybody's talking about the streak, and that's great for the fans. The more important thing is to fit everybody into the system, get them on the same page, and get ready to roll for the postseason.
The trading deadline is Wednesday. In lieu of the Crosby injury, will the Penguins try to make another deal between now and then?
One is always possible, and Ray Shero is very active. But I do think with the acquisitions that they've had and, you know, getting some people back that they really don't have to do anything more. They really muscled up. So if they do something, I think that would be a surprise.
And so you say the Penguins are still favored to win the Stanley Cup, but of course they're going to need goaltending to do it. Marc-Andre Fleury was also hurt last week. We've kind of forgotten about that with the Crosby injury. When will we see Marc-Andre Fleury back in the Nets?
It could be as early as tomorrow. He looked, it looked worse than it was, maybe. And Vokoun stepped up really well, but I think you might see Fleury in the Nets again tomorrow night. I think it's going to be this week for sure, though, with him. When you can get people back like Fleury and Chris Letang, I mean, that's like making a trade right there when you start getting some of your injured players back.
Now, you are kind of downplaying the winning streak a little bit, but, you know, people are getting caught up in this. The Penguins beat the Islanders over the weekend in spite of Crosby getting hurt to tie the Islanders for the second longest winning streak in the long history of the National Hockey League. And they are two games away from tying the record that they themselves, the Penguins, set 20 years ago. Can the Penguins keep that winning streak going without Crosby?
I believe they can. Like I said, if you're a player, that's not what you're looking at.
Yeah,
you're looking
but the
at
fans,
the bigger picture. But the fans, of, yeah. I mean, for the fans, that's huge. But yeah, I mean, if you got the Sabres tomorrow night, and then you go to New York with the Rangers, and with the possibility of tying the biggest winning streak ever, they've already gone through the first NHL team to go through an entire month without losing. I mean. Let's face it, it does just generate a lot of excitement and electricity.
Moving on to college basketball, the Final Four is set. It's going to be Michigan, Wichita State, Syracuse, and Louisville. Wichita State makes it to the Final Four. They're the team that beat Pitt in the first round. Everybody was down on the Panthers for losing to them. Does this advancing to the Final Four for Wichita State, does this vindicate Pitt?
Well, I think it eases the sting a little bit. And you say, well, they didn't play well, and who's this team, Wichita State, team that makes it to the Final Four? It does ease the sting a little bit. And, right now, with the injury that Louisville suffered yesterday, I wouldn't be surprised if Wichita State won at all. It's been that kind of a year in college basketball.
Bob Dvorak is sports writer emeritus for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and his video blog is Sportsnet. Bob is coming to us live from PNC Park, where the Pirates are getting set to open the season against the Cubs. Bob, thanks for joining us, and hopefully you can bring the Pirates some luck today.
Yes, and we can all thaw out with a win.
Stay warm. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you, Paul. Bye.
Tomorrow, a look at Brazilian culture and Pittsburgh's Latin American communities with Focus Brazil. That's tomorrow on Essential Pittsburgh. Until then, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Thanks for listening.